The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We live in a world that knows evil, a world that knows tragedy, a world that knows injustice and oppression, sadness and pain. We live in a world, in a time, where we need heroes. So for the next 6 weeks, as we just learned from our children's message, 6 weeks, as we journey to Jerusalem together, we're going to talk about heroes. Talk about our call from God to be heroes. And try to find our calling to stand up and be counted. Now, if we are going to talk about heroes, you know I'm going to bring comic books into it. There's just no way I can avoid it, right? I love comics. I collect comics. I'm an avid collector. I have a little over 6,500 comics in my collection. Comic books are filled with superheroes, ordinary people endowed with extraordinary power, abilities, gifts, which they in turn use to fight evil. I love comics. I love everything about them. I love the movies that they make about comics. This weekend, Black Panther opened in movie theaters. It is on track to make $210 million this weekend alone. People love comics. I love watching them on TV. The Flash, one of my favorites. Gotham. The entire genre is rich with stories of heroes, people fighting for good, for justice, for a better world. I grew up on comics. When I was growing up in the 70s, every Saturday morning we had cartoons. We didn't have whole channels devoted to cartoons. I can't even imagine what that's like to have a whole channel of cartoons. We had like 4 hours on Saturday morning. Saturday morning I was up with my bowl of cereal ready to go, 7:30. 7:30 to 11:30, I'm watching cartoons. One of my favorites when I was growing up was the Super Friends. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman flying around in an invisible jet. Never understood how she found that thing. Right? How do you remember where you parked the invisible jet? Right? It's a great cartoon. I used to love that cartoon. In the evenings, I was watching TV with my parents. There was Lou Ferrigno as the Incredible Hulk. There was Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. Remember, she'd spin around and she'd change into Wonder Woman. I love that. It was just fun stuff. And then in 1977, my parents got me a special birthday present. For my birthday that year, they got me a subscription for 1 year to receive the Fantastic Four. Oh. The Fantastic Four. Every month, I would get a comic book featuring the Fantastic Four. I was blown away. I read those comics and reread. I still have those original 12 comics in my collection today, and they are by far some of the roughest comics I own. The covers don't stay on anymore. The pages, the corners are worn off of them. I read them and reread them and reread them. I loved the Fantastic Four. These are the Fantastic Four here. This handsome fellow in the middle with the silver on the sides, that's Reed Richards. He's a scientist. And this is his girlfriend and eventually his wife, Sue Storm, and her younger brother, Johnny. And this is Reed's best friend, Ben. Now, the Fantastic Four were a group that were created in 1961. Marvel Comics was pretty much getting its tail beat by DC. DC Comics is where Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman are. And they were just trouncing Marvel. Marvel didn't have anything to answer that. And Stan Lee, the legendary editor-in-chief and writer for Marvel Comics, was so frustrated. He wanted to do something different. His publisher wouldn't let him. And he told his wife, "That's it. I'm going to quit. I'm going to go sell insurance." And she said, "Okay, you can do that. But before you leave, you need to write the comic you've always wanted to write. Because then, years from now, when you're selling insurance, I don't have to listen to you gripe and moan about how you had the perfect idea. She's like, do it. Write it and put it out there. And then if you want to quit, you can quit. So he went back to the drawing table and he sat down with Jack Kirby, one of the most legendary artists in comic books. And they sat down and created the Fantastic Four. It was in response to DC's Justice League. See, in the Justice League, you had Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman, and they fought evil together. But Stan Lee wanted something more personal, so he created a family. Because he understood that. Right? And that's what the Fantastic Four were. They were family. I mean, Reed married Sue, and Johnny was her brother and Reed's brother-in-law, and Ben was Reed's best friend. They were family. And just like family, when Stan wrote the comic book, he poured into it his own experience with family, which means they weren't idyllic. They weren't perfect. They were not a model family. They had fights. They had arguments. They had disagreements. They didn't get along with each other. There were times that because they were family, they loved each other, but they didn't like each other very much. Any families you know that can relate to that? He wrote what he knew onto the pages, and of course the rest is history. Fantastic Four took off, and because of that, Stan Lee stayed at Marvel for the next 40 years and created such iconic characters as the Avengers and the X-Men, and yes, even Black Panther, whose movie opened this weekend. We often refer to church as family as well. We talk about how church is a family, and I have to be honest, I'm not always comfortable with that designation, because while family can be a symbol of love and togetherness, for some, family can also be a symbol of brokenness and pain. Some families hide secrets. Some families fracture. Some families hurt one another. And there are some who come from a path where family is not a positive image. It's not a good feeling. But even with all of that, family can be healing and restorative. Family can be uplifting and challenging. Family can be inspiring and motivating. If we are honest, all families have pieces of both of those images. So if we are to refer to church as family, we have to own all of it. We have to accept that sometimes, just like family, we are positive and supportive, and sometimes, just like family, we are frustrating and angry. But we are still family. And we are still in this together with each other. As I look at my comic book heroes, the Fantastic Four, and as I read 1 Peter 3, I think there are some lessons that we can learn from the Fantastic Four about being family. Lessons that just so happen to crop up in the Scripture, as fate would have it. I think one of the first things we can learn about being family is that we have to be pitiful. Now hold on. I know some of you are sitting there thinking, well, we got that one down. Hold on. Our scripture today, 1 Peter 3:8, says, finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Peter's telling us how to be together as family, as community, as church. The NRSV that we read from on Sunday morning says that we should have sympathy. We should feel for one another. That's what sympathy means, to feel for another. But if you go back to the King James Version, instead of the word sympathy, they put be pitiful. Now, by our modern connotations, when you hear the phrase be pitiful, you think, well, that means I have to be pathetic and sad, right? I have to be pitiful. But that's not what pitiful actually means. When you go back to the original meaning of the word, to be pitiful means to have pity towards others. When you are pitiful, when you are full of pity, literally what the word means, then you are able to look at others and see their perspective, walk in their shoes, understand and feel their experience. One of the characters in the Fantastic Four, I don't know if you noticed on my sign, but one of the characters is orange. See over there. He's right? He's orange. This is my favorite comic book character of all time, by the way. This is Ben Grimm, but he's commonly known as the Thing. And he's without a doubt my favorite. If you go into my office, you'll see all my Thing action figures. I like the Thing a lot. He was an Air Force pilot before they got into an accident that gave them all their powers. And as you can see, the rest of them still look fairly normal, right? They have superpowers. Mr. Fantastic can stretch his body, and the Invisible Woman can turn invisible. And let's see if you can guess this one. The Human Torch. Yeah, burst into flames. But Ben is the only one whose outward appearance changed all the time. When they came back from their accident, they decided to start helping people and start fighting injustice. He was the only one that couldn't change back and look normal. He was the one who lost his girlfriend because she couldn't stand what he looked like now. He was the one who lost his friends and who couldn't walk down the street because people were scared of him. They thought he was a monster. And there are many times throughout the comics when you see Ben and he's just so sad. He's just so sad. He's so brokenhearted. His outward exterior is this big, rough, gruff, stony presence, but inside his heart is breaking. How often do we have people in our family that have that rough, gruff, stony exterior? Right? They're not easy to get along with. They almost come across as rude or mean or callous. We think, man, what is wrong with that person? But Peter encourages us to be pitiful, to have sympathy, to stop for a moment and consider that person's walk, consider that person's life, consider that person's experience, because more than likely underneath that rough, stony exterior is a heart that has been broken. We have to see beyond what's on the outside. We have to have that sympathy, that pity, that mercy toward them. The next lesson I think we can take from the Fantastic Four is to be patient. 1 Peter 3:9 says, "Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing." Johnny Storm is the youngest member of the Fantastic Four. He's the Human Torch. He can burst into flames. He can fly. He can throw fireballs. And he tends to be, pardon the pun, a little hot-headed. His temper often gets the best of him. He gets angry, especially at Ben. Him and Ben fight all the time. And of course, he gets mad and throws fire at Ben. And Ben's made of stone, so he can't hurt Ben. And Ben throws his car back at Johnny, and it goes back and forth. He gets hot-headed, he gets mad, he gets angry. Oftentimes, you know, in our family, we're confronted with stuff that makes us angry, that makes us mad. But Peter says we're supposed to be patient. Don't repay evil for evil, abuse for abuse, hurt for hurt, pain for pain. Somebody in your family hurts you, you're not supposed to respond with a better hurt. My wife and her sister, when they were growing up, When they were little, which I think this is when they were like teenagers, when they were little, they're only 11 months apart. They would get into fights, and Jackie would dig her nails into Jill's arm, and Jill would grab a hold of Jackie's hair and pull it up. And to this day, they both still have scars from some of those fights, right? Because if you're going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back more. But when we're in family together, that doesn't work. When we're in family, we just keep upping the ante on who could hurt each other the worst. Things fall apart. Peter says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't repay abuse for abuse. But respond with blessing. When someone hurts you, respond with blessing. If you're going to do that, it's going to take patience. You know, the Greek word for patience literally means slow to boil. We're called to be slow to boil. That when we're confronted with people who make us mad, who make us angry, that we're not to fight with them and argue with them and bicker with them, but we're supposed to respond with blessing. Because we're slow to boil. The third lesson that I think the Fantastic Four can give us to be a better family of heroes is to be peaceful. 1 Peter says, those who desire life, desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. In the Fantastic Four, whenever Ben and Johnny are fighting, often the peacemaker in the room is Johnny's sister, Sue. She often comes between them and says, hold on a minute, calm down, stop. She's the one that restores order to what's going on. She's the peacemaker. You know, there's an old saying, there's two types of people in this world. There's thermostats and thermometers. Sue is definitely a thermostat. What it's talking about there is that a thermometer reacts to the temperature in the room by going with it. If it gets hotter, it gets hotter. If it gets colder, it gets colder. But a thermostat, well, a thermostat notices when things are getting too hot and it cools them down. It notices when things are too cold and it warms them up. That's what Sue does. Sue sees when Johnny and Ben are getting too angry with each other, she's the one that cools them down. The steps in between says, whoa, wait a minute. We're still family. We are called to be those peacemakers. God needs peacemakers in the church. God needs peacemakers in the workplace. God needs peacemakers in our schools. We are called to be those peacemakers. The people who are seeking peace in our relationships, in our interactions, in our encounters. What I loved most about the Fantastic Four, as I've read them over the years, is they're not a perfect family. But they are still family. The church is not a perfect family. But we are still family. We love each other. We walk with each other. We forgive each other. We support each other. And to be a better family, we have to be pitiful. We have to have sympathy for each other in our path. We have to be patient, slow to boil, responding to slights and hurts with blessings. And we have to be peaceful. Thermostats, adjusting the temperature to cool when things heat up. When we do these things together, we become a better family. Not a perfect family, but a better family. And when we are a better family, a better church, then we can be the family of heroes that God needs us to be right now. Amen.